Tom, you know that many individuals in the mass understand that. But when a mass is totally controlled by religious leaders, it cannot accept learning from others. What is of necessity is the allowance for others to live also. What's necessary also is the allowance of complete education for their mothers. But keeping their mothers in ignorance then breeds ignorance again. We speak now of leaderships of a nation that believe a woman has less value than the corruption. It was once the same in your own states also, but with education and non-ignorance it moved forward, for in controlling women nations stop their own growth. They have convinced those mothers that it is beneficial for them to be less than they are. It is the will of their civilization. John, was that part of the influence of the fallen one? Tom, yes. John, because it kept them in bondage? Tom, kept. That nation was not dispersed. John, do you have anything to say about Jerusalem, and its current history of being divided, and then unhappily reunited? Tom, Jerusalem is the primary area of discontent. It must be unified, in truth. For it does not belong to Islam, it does not belong to Christianity, and it does not belong to the nation of Israel. If it belongs to anyone, it belongs to us. We are saddened that it is not unified. But we must say, the nation of Israel has protected it better than all others. We would wish that the peoples in that area begin to understand that they walk upon hallowed earth. And when it is unified, the world is unified. Guest, not long ago I woke up with the idea that Jerusalem needs to become an international city. Tom, that is not only yours. That has been thought of in the minds of many. Know that neither the forces of Ishmael nor those of Israel would agree with us at this time. The Ishmaels believe that by their possessing it, the God of the Jews cannot return. Therefore they then can remove the Jews. The nation of Israel will not agree with it, for when the Ishmaels had possession of it, they permitted all peoples except Jews to enter their own holy sites, and they destroyed the holy sites of the Jews and desecrated their holy places with fecal matter. When the nation of Israel is in charge, all peoples including Arabs may enter. You understand the difference? Until that painful memory of the desecration is removed from consciousness, Jerusalem cannot be at peace. And that will come soon, but until that time there is that blocked energy around. Guest, one of the daring thoughts I had is that the UN is likely to look for a new center for itself, and I was wondering, is it a correct possibility that Jerusalem could become a center for the United Nations? Tom, the United Nations will devastate Jerusalem. Those who enter from most nations are not respectful to others. A central unified city that all may enter would be acceptable, but Jerusalem may not be ruled by. You understand the United Nations is not united? And you also understand that the United Nations, in moving, would wish to build monstrous edifices? We wish you to know this, as it is here. It is also above. Therefore we now link with you in meditation, to bring about peace, balance, harmony, and removal of fear and hatred. For the Huvudes to accept their true purpose. For Huvudes not to have fear of loving again and joy and trust. And to remove the hatred from the Ishmaels. For the Ishmaels to forgive their journey in the desert, to forgive the Huvudes, to forgive Sarah and Abraham. That the Huvudes and Ishmaels may be true brothers. 14. The Covenant. At the time of the Covenant, the thought that God would come into a personal relationship with humankind was a new idea. God offered friendship and asked for trust in return. And that trust was to be expressed by living in His way. The transmission starts off with some observations by Tom about the balance between the peoples of the Middle East. John, now one thing I've never quite understood, when you say, for example, that Moses is a mixture of Alta and Shaan. Does this mean that the soul originally evolved on Alta? The original evolution of the soul? Tom, it was in Ashan, then with a mixture of Alta, then Moses became a being upon earth. There are special kinds of beings upon earth that have the purification of two civilizations. John, yes, but the origin of Moses, Tom, the origin was from Ashan. John, and we are talking about the soul? Tom, yes. Now we will explain to you about the Bedouin. The Bedouin are of great importance, for the Jewish nation also comes from them. The maid of Moses was a Bedouin. But also the descendants of Rachel and of Leah came from a land that had the Bedouin living in it. Remember this. Those Bedouin that have been instilled into the nation of Israel are also those that have the understanding of the natural laws that come from the Creator of the universe. They are also more highly evolved in their awareness of their Creator. They are not the same as the Arab, they have a different thinking. They are between the Israeli and the Arab in that respect. The text continues with the exploration of identities. John, are you saying that those of whom do not know exactly who Yehovah is then? Is that correct? Tom, that is in truth correct. Andrew, it is a very delicate point, but are you speaking of Huva now, or the Israelis? Tom, Huva. John, now I have a delicate question, is it all right to ask? Tom, yes. John, I'm assuming then that Jehovah is in fact part of the nine, but the Huvites do not know that? Tom, he is a composite of all of us. John, I thought that you meant that Jesus has a piece of. Tom, yes, but he is of all of us. Andrew, so in fact when the ancient Hebrew biblical belief states that Jehovah is indeed God, they are correct then? Tom, yes. Andrew, so it is possible that a person, a being, a God, whatever the word is, someone like Jehovah, is indeed a personalization of all of you? Tom, yes. Andrew, that is a different concept from a composite. Tom, yes. Andrew, what you have been telling us seems to indicate that Jehovah is the head of a civilization, Huva. It seems as if we are bringing the Jewish God down to a lower level. How can we deal with this most sensitive issue? Tom, council has said that it is a perplexing problem for those of the nation of Israel, but if it could be explained in the intellect, not in the emotions, who the Hebrews are, why they have that sense of duty within, and why they have failed, and that the civilizations are attempting to help them, then the Hebrews will come to understand. Andrew, yes. I have a suggestion to make. Somewhere I've read in a Talmud text, that in ancient times the rabbis did know that there was a God above Jehovah, and that Jehovah was indeed something of what we now understand him to be. Tom, yes. Andrew, I would like to ask about the Ark of the Covenant. Is it well preserved and in perfect condition? Have you seen to that over the thousands of years? Tom, it has not been placed in vain. There are those on earth who believe that it never existed. John, I'm interested in knowing more about the God of the Arabs, Allah. You have never really explained who he is. Tom, there is but one that heads the universe. It is a composite, yes. But when you speak of the God of the Arabs, do you have the understanding that our Abraham was the father of two nations? John, yes. Tom, then you also understand that Allah is what those of Israel call Jehovah. The nation of Israel has forgotten its heritage, its choosing and its covenant. Abraham was told to go and spread his seed through all the planet Earth. Abraham attempted to spread his seed into the universe, not into planet Earth. Abraham in his beginning was not willing to give up control completely. Abraham was told to populate and to go forth, and the covenant was not truly kept. If this nation had gone forth and populated as it was, then the planet Earth would not be in such a serious state as it is at this time. Holding on to tradition has been made by man, not from us or from the civilizations. It has been a way in which man has controlled other men. The people of the nations of Ishmael are brothers with the nation of Israel. It is important that brothers not fight brothers, but in your world it seems to be your system. It is important for this message to be given to the nation of Israel, for they need to understand that the powers of their mind can create that which they fear. Your mind brings to you not what you want, it brings to you what you are. The nation of Israel must look closely at what they are. They want peace. But may we ask why they do not have peace? Or what are their fears? It is what is in the hearts of the men and women of the nation of Israel that is most important. And when the nation of Israel begins to fear less, then also it will begin to change, and then perhaps the nations of its father, the patriarch Abraham, may also begin to change. For each feeds the other. Yes. It is very difficult to get humankind to obey. when you view this planet Earth, and all the groups that exist. For many civilizations it is difficult to see, in truth, which are willing to obey. The Hoovets are the least willing. Irene, and who are the most willing? Tom, the Zenials. Irene, and that's because they understand the greater profundity? Tom, yes. Irene, why, of all the civilizations, are the Hoovets the least intuitive and perceptive? They have the greatest gift and great ability, yet they are the ones who are busy denying it the most. Tom, they are the most intuitive. But they chose to armor themselves because they were the most in competition with us. In their inner soul they know this and also who they are. However, they became confused upon planet Earth, and those of the opposition are able to manipulate them. Irene, so when you came and gave part of yourselves to establish humankind, the Hoovets were originally the captains of the captains? Tom, correct. They came to planet Earth 3 times. They are the sons of gods that came and mingled with the daughters of man. They were twice again given the opportunity, for it was seen what was needed to bring planet Earth to its fulfillment. But we made an error also, for the civilization of Hova, which is the civilization of the Nazarene, which is love, upon its coming to planet Earth, became the one of least love. The others knew of its strength and corrupted it, yes. Irene, what are the relationships of the other 23 civilizations to the Hoovids? Tom, they will be the colonization of other worlds. They are in equality, but the Hoovids were the ones with the tenacity to persevere upon planet Earth. And in the beginning we did not truly know which of the civilizations would be the persevering ones. Irene, so that when you created humankind, you gave yourselves time, you basically waited to see. Tom, that is correct, we observed to see what we would do. Irene, and to see who would recognize what I believe was the most important gift you gave, which was free will. Tom, that is correct. Tom, and whereas the other civilizations found strength in being collectives. Tom, collective, exactness. Irene, the Hoovids, Tom, were individuals. Correct. Irene, but there is a relationship here, is there not? Between individualism and free will. Free will is a double-edged sword, isn't it? Tom, that is correct. You believe you are in control, but you are always controlled. You believe that you have free will. And the truth is that you do, but when you understand you have free will, totally and completely, then you give up the free will. Do you understand? Irene, yes, because the knowledge of what you truly possess becomes the very thing that allows you to dispossess it. Tom, that is correct. Like obedience. Irene, now the others knew that if they can control the Hoovids, the rest of the civilizations wasn't as important. Tom, yes. We would pray the Hoovids would understand that. Irene, which also goes back to what you were saying before, which is the testing of yourselves, isn't it? Tom, that is correct. Irene, because you exist in an arena where collective consciousness and free will don't have meaning? Tom, that is correct. Irene, and so for you to better understand free will, you needed to watch how your creation understood it. Tom, we needed a lens, yes. Irene, and you also knew that there was going to be a battle with the others. Tom, we would have been naive not to, yes. But you understand, we did not know the outcome, for it is not our way. Irene, the outcome in terms of your battle with them? Tom, that is correct. Irene, I believe that. But what happened is that you knew that in some sphere, in some universe, that this battle was going to play itself out. You knew that you couldn't directly confront them because of the nature of what you are and the nature of what they are. Correct? Tom, correct. Irene, so you chose paradise with which to carry on this battle? Tom, correct. Irene, and you gave the Hoovids what you believed was the greatest weapon and gift that you could give them? Tom, free will, yes. Irene, knowing full well that that could be their greatest strength as well as their greatest weakness. Tom, that is correct, as we had said in the beginning. The others meddle with your weaknesses as well as your strengths. Irene, And so once the Who had understood the gift of free will, then they could begin to understand the joy of the other 23 civilizations? Tom, the following questions concern a visit to Majiddo in 1974 by some of the group. Majiddo is a mound of fairly modest proportions with a view over the fertile plains of Israel. These plains are allegedly the physical site of the battlefield of Armageddon. On the other side rises the symmetrical Mount Tabor, and then beyond that, the rugged hills of Galilee. A stillness pervades the atmosphere around Majiddo. Archaeologists have cut through the mound in several places, and in one of the deepest of these excavations is a circular platform of rough stone. This was the old Canaanite altar. Fox nested in the rock face to the side of it, and Andrew felt particularly drawn to that spot. Andrew, we went recently to the old city of Megiddo, which according to our historians goes back about 6,000 years. Do you have anything to say about the little city of Megiddo? Tom, it is a settlement of longer duration. It was founded in 9228 BC, by a small group which had migrated from a different area, at the time of the destruction. It was a stronghold for those that maintained a contact and communication with us, and it was a stronghold of truth. Those that opposed in their thinking or in their reverie had decided that by destroying truth, they would be able to control planet Earth. It is an area where the Hawk and others, and all of us have visited your planet, at one time or another. It is a meeting place. Andrew, is that the only place on our planet that has been visited by all 12, the 9 of you and 3 humans in a triangle? Tom, yes. It is a representation. Andrew, what is this strange? There must be some power generator or something there that is not apparent on the surface. Tom, you cannot feel? Andrew, well, I couldn't, but the being did. Tom, did you not notice that there was no movement in that particular area? Andrew, yes, that's true. Tom, it is because it is the meeting place and has been the meeting place as each of us has descended at one time or another. Andrew, when you descended, did you meet in the city itself, on the surface, or somewhere that we cannot see today? Tom, it is not uncovered. Andrew, I see, because while I was there I had a strange vision of beings who were there in yellow suits that looked like pressure suits. Was that at all a true vision? Tom, yes. As you know of the areas throughout your planet which are an energy core or a place of special feeling, at times these serve as a pipeline for different civilizations to come through on a beam of energy, which is an opening between the dimensions. Majiddo is the area where this process of setting up these energy cores started, and all the civilizations used it at one time or another. On the planet Earth, it was the place for what you call summit meetings, and all of us came there at one time or another, but not all at the same time. We came to communicate with a Hawk. The beings in yellow which you saw were from the civilization which was the guardian, yes. It is in truth the underneath of what you would call the energy into which we may, as you would say, plug in. John, so was Majiddo part of Atlantis? Tom, no. We must clarify. You recall what we have talked of the destruction. Before that time, there were colonies of Atlantis. And those colonies moved to other colonies, where there were beings that moved to other colonies. That is the nature of things. Andrew, that was 11,000 years ago. So this would add up. How did Majiddo ever come to be the symbol of, to be called Armageddon? Tom, did we not explain? Perhaps it was not clear. Did we not explain that the colony, which was of the essence of truth, because of the energy of those that were good and those that were not so good, was obliged to enter into battle with those that opposed, and we speak now of those in the spheres. So this was always a battle area and has left that vibration in the physical and in the spheres. Andrew, I suppose my question really is, how did this get into the literature, the Bible? Tom, did we not just explain? Andrew, well, you explained it was a center of struggle, but there's only one mention of it in the Bible, and it doesn't even mention battles. Tom, it was a battle on the physical that put it into your Bible. Remember, your Bible is not always in truth, and there are parts of your Bible that are not in your Bible. Andrew, Yes, you did tell us that. What's puzzling me is that here is the most important statement that couldn't should be in the Bible. Tom, we did not control what man put in your Bible. Andrew, I see. The subject was then changed to deal with more practical matters. John, why has so much importance been ascribed in the Bible to circumcision? Tom, it is truly a very simple explanation. There are no complications with us. It is only those that follow later what we have said that cause complexities. If you recall the climate of Israel and the surrounding countries, they have great heat and sand and dryness. One of the greatest ills that afflicted those that lived in this area was the affliction of the genitals of the males. They knew that their genitalia gave them pleasure and also pain. They remembered the pleasure more and would not allow circumcision. The reason for the beginning of circumcision was to make the people strong, and to eliminate the cancer that was consuming women. If males in that climate are not circumcised, then it creates a cancer in women. It was done to make them strong, but it was also to ask them to have the faith in us. A grain of sand in a child creates much pain and much difficulty. It was that simple. Andrew, what about the religious aspect where it was a sign of the covenant between Abraham and the Lord? Tom, we thought we had just explained that to you. At that time, there was not a male that would do this. Does that give you the explanation? Andrew, yes, that does for the beginning. Now how about today? Is it still necessary? Tom, in this time and this day there are many things that are different, but it is still better to be circumcised. You understand that in 1500 years from now there will not be a foreskin on a male. It is not necessary for you to be circumcised to have the understanding. Andrew, how about circumcision of women that's practiced in some countries? Why is it not practiced in the Jewish religion? Tom, it was not what we asked. The reason why we asked for the males to be circumcised was their ego. The females did not have the same ego problem. We asked the males to make a practical sacrifice, and to believe that if they did this, their whole people would benefit. We asked them to believe in our knowledge and recommendation. Andrew, is that the same reason you asked the sacrifice, if you did, of the firstborn? Tom, that was not us. Andrew, it happened to be in the Bible. That is why I wondered how it got in there. Tom, many things that are in the Bible are not in truth. Andrew, yes, we are trying to sift out which are true and which are not. Tom, circumcision came for two reasons, one to help and one to give faith. It is now carried beyond this, and people believe that it brings them closer to God. This was not the intention. 15. The Nazarene. It is when replying to a questioner who has used another term than the Nazarene that Tom uses the term Christ or Jesus. The nine call him the Nazarene. This chapter deals with the Nazarene as a person, his origins and mission, and it needs no introduction. The transmissions speak for themselves. Guest, on earth, there are many ideals for God. Could you indicate which of these ideals most closely match the ideals of the nine? Tom, the ideal given by the man called Christ, as he was the last of us to visit planet Earth. Guest, and of those descriptions of Christ given in the Bible, which is the most accurate? Tom, there are many misinterpretations in your Bible. It is true that the man you call Christ lived a normal, human existence, but he was a man of discretion and he walked with discretion among the people. Guest, was he one of the nine? Tom, no, but he emulated their thoughts and their understanding. He was all of us at once. He came with the perfect goodness that is in each of us. Within us, as within you, there are various elements. But he had from each of us the most perfect of the elements of us. There are many things that are not told about him, for what he did in private and did not allow the world to see him in human frailties. Andrew, I want to follow up the statement you once made when you said that 2,000 years ago you almost succeeded in helping to raise the consciousness of this planet. Was this in the time of the man we call Jesus Christ? Tom, this is correct. Andrew, how did you in fact work with this being called Jesus Christ? Could you please tell me? I think it would be most illuminating for all of us. Tom, We do not call him Jesus Christ. We call him the Nazarene. His inspirational work and his healings were inspired by us, and his energy was supplied by us. He made the commitment, and when he made the commitment he knew what he must do. We had great hopes at that time. But what you call your civilization and your societies created the problems. And then you made a god of him, as you have made a god of many. This will not happen again. There will be not one, but a collection of beings that will raise the level of consciousness of this planet. It is very important that you do not deify us. It is very important that you understand that God is in each and every one of you, and that God is love, and is the love that creates the one God. Andrew, the mission of the Nazarene apparently almost succeeded but, as you say, there was failure because of the role of society and our so-called civilization. There are many on Earth today who fully expect the return of the Nazarene, and I gather from what you say that is not possible, since the single individual will not return to Tom, this is correct, a single individual will not return. There are many on this planet similar to the Nazarene. It will be a collection. Those that come and say they are the Nazarene or the Messiah, are not the true Messiah. As we have explained before, when they call themselves masters, they are not masters, Andrew. On the one hand, humankind needs to understand that you exist and that you come in peace. On the other hand, they expect some single individual to return, by whatever means, clouds of glory, etc. I have talked to people in some of our churches, and they say that only Jesus can return, and anybody else is a representative of the devil. How does one cope with that kind of attitude amongst people? Tom, you pray as we pray. This always has been a problem, but when we come, and when they see the good works, then they will know who we are. After all, the Nazarene said, "You shall know them by their works." When people see that we do not come in war because there is no war with us as there is on your planet, and when they see that we come with love and with technology to help this planet that is exterminating itself, how can they but know that we come from God? Guest, Jesus said that the two most important commandments that we all had to be aware of are, that we should love God with all our heart, with all our soul and with all our might, and that we should love each other as we love ourselves. And that's what all the scriptures rested on, those two commandments. The way I perceive the first commandment is in the way the Jewish people used to love the Lord, their God, through rituals and prayer. I wonder how in our daily lives we could really do that, love God with all our heart every day? Tom, as you know, in ritual it becomes redundant. Take time for self alone, in communion with creation. This would set the time for being with the Creator. It is important, but not compulsory, to find a method of meditation that would suit you. You can make that your ritual. Also, if you take the second commandment, you know, on earth there are many who do not love themselves. Through corruption many do not love themselves. We would extend it to say, utilize kindness to all and to yourself, you then fulfill the commandment. David, it's reported in the Bible that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes before the Father but by me," and that seems inconsistent. Has that just been misinterpreted? Tom, is not man attempting to rule man? David, yes, at times they are. Tom, then is it not so that it is man that placed it upon the parchment? David, Christians, who see the Nazarene as the most advanced example of how we should live, tend to point to the sentence that I quoted as being a very important statement. Tom, is that not dogmaness? Sick, David, oh, absolutely right. Tom, is that not an attempt to control the belief system of religion? We ask you, do you not trust your own divine being? David, evidently not. Laughter, Tom, yes, Andrew, in some people I have met and talked to while in Israel, there is still the expectation of the arrival of a Messiah. Tom, the Messiah, the messenger, would be with the landing, should that happen. We speak of the man, the Nazarene. Andrew, would they recognize the Nazarene? Tom, yes. Andrew, would the landing of the Nazarene be in the area of what is now called Israel? Tom, yes, because the Nazarene is the leader of Jehovah. John, How is the danger of him being deified again going to be overcome? Will the Israelis understand this time? Tom, there would not be but one, there would be many Hovids who arrive. They would explain, and they would bring the understanding that the Christ is within every individual. Harriet, we were wondering about the Immaculate Conception, and whether you would tell us about that, and also if the Nazarene had offspring?